Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Saha Conversations, a podcast by the Scottish Arts and Humanities Alliance. Saha, for short. We'll be in conversation with Dr. Petra Johanna Ponsarola, a Marie Curie Fellow at the University of Glasgow. She serves as Secretary of the International Association for the Study of Scottish Literatures and is one of the co-directors of the National Centre for Gaelic Translation.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Ponsarova.
Thank you for the invitation.
As our audience know, here at Saha, we do value an arts and humanities education, and we know your background certainly reflects it. So can you please tell us a little bit about your education and how you managed to get to this position?
I'm from the Czech Republic originally, and I did all my degrees in Prague at Charles University. My original subject combination was English and Scandinavian studies. And since I did that in Central Europe, it was the traditional philological degree, which meant studying the language, literature, culture, and history of the given country or region altogether. I really enjoyed it, and I still feel the benefits of this approach, including the rigorous study of grammar. English at Charles University was very broadly conceived, and although the department where I studied is called the Department of Anglophone Literatures and Cultures, it wasn't strictly speaking true, because it wasn't only Anglophone Literatures and Cultures. Since the 1990s, there's been a very active and prominent Centre for Irish Studies in Prague, supported by the Irish Embassy, and its activities include the teaching of the Irish language, at all levels, from complete beginners to advanced users. And many of my friends and colleagues have been involved in that. And I think this showed me that it could be done, but I still wanted my own niche, something of my own, something new. And first, I got interested in Scotland in general. I think it's very different now, but when I was going through secondary school, you'd easily get the idea that the United Kingdom was basically England. And it was only when I was preparing for entrance exams to the university that I started to realize the diversity of Scotland and Wales. I was reading up on Scottish writing, and I also discovered the presence of two minoritized languages in Scotland, Gaelic and Scots. And initially, I wanted to learn Scots, but in 2008, there wasn't much available in terms of online resources or textbooks. Again, I think the situation has improved a lot in the meantime, and so much wonderful work has been done to promote Scots in publishing and schools. But back in my time, Gaelic was more accessible, even to somebody in my position and of my background. I remember buying the textbook Teachers of Gaelic on my first visit to Scotland, and I was also using online resources such as the website Learn Gaelic. So that's how I started. But the turning point for me was when my supervisor in Prague and a dear friend and colleague, Martin Procházka, presented me with a copy of the bilingual anthology of modern Gaelic poetry, which includes the works of Sorley MacLean, Derek Thompson, Ian Creighton-Smith, Dora Macaulay, and George Campbell Hay. At that point, I couldn't really appreciate the poems in the originals, so I read them in English translations. But I was strongly drawn to those poems, and I wanted to study them in Gaelic. And that's what made the difference. I discovered something that I really enjoyed, and which was also promising as a research interest, since nobody was working on Scottish Gaelic literature in Prague or even in the Czech Republic. I started to attend short courses at Salmo Rostek, the Gaelic college in the Isle of Skye, and it was very useful, but I still felt it wasn't quite enough. So when I finished my master's in Prague, I took an extra year. I got some financial support from the faculty in Prague, and I did a full-time course at Salmo Rostek called Gaelic and Communication, Gaelic is Konotrach. As part of the course, we had a work placement, so I worked for a Stornoway-based publishing house, Storlam, for 3 weeks. And I think having so much exposure to Gaelic on a daily basis and so much opportunity to study it made the difference in getting the confidence to actually use the language.
And you are a fluent speaker. You're one of the very few people, one of the very special percentage of people that can read, write, go on TV, go on the radio and talk, read and write Gaelic. So how did you master the language? How did you become a fluent speaker? And could you please also tell us your favorite word?
Well, I would hesitate to call myself a fluent speaker because I find even nowadays that the fluency depends on the situation, on the topic, on the people, also on my mental state and confidence. There are many topics with which I am quite at ease. As you said, I have done media appearances in Gaelic. I have published articles and reviews in Gaelic. But there are other topics that I would find extremely difficult to handle because I don't have the vocabulary and I never had any reason to approach them through the medium of Gaelic. But then I would probably found those a challenge in English and perhaps even in Czech. In general, I find this situation of fluency very interesting. And I also think it affects personal relationships. So I have friends and colleagues with whom I would use Gaelic only. With other people, I switch between Gaelic and English. And these switches are not really motivated by lack of vocabulary. They just have their own mysterious rhythm. And then there are people with whom I would use English in conversation and Gaelic in writing. And then it also depends on mood and confidence. So on a good day, I may feel very fluent and immersed in the language. On a bad day, I may feel extremely clumsy and incompetent. But it is interesting to observe how the language influences personal relations, social dynamics, and also one's identity and self-esteem. Now, thinking about my favorite Gaelic word, that's another challenge. But one I have been coming back to is probably futo, which means a found treasure. So something you come across by accident and it becomes very precious for you. And I think that Gaelic for me is just full of these found treasures. And I love going through old dictionaries, especially the one compiled by Edward Dwelly. So that's a complete rabbit hole. And every time I try to look for something specific in it, I just, you know, end up discovering more found treasures.
It's brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And let's call it your love story with the language. That was brilliant. I find your journey very fascinating because that is quite the leap from English and Danish. And something that I think everyone who's learning a new language knows that learning via reading, so via literature, is very important. So do you have any piece of literature that you could recommend or even just tell us about the struggles of people that are looking for Gaelic literature?
But that's a challenging question. Because one of the specific features of Gaelic literature is that for a long time, poetry prevailed, and there is a wonderfully rich tradition of Gaelic poetry stretching back centuries. And in comparison with the trajectories of other literatures, the beginning of Gaelic fiction, novels and short stories is relatively late. So the first two Gaelic novels emerged only at the beginning of the 20th century. So when you compare that with the development of Scottish writing in English, for instance, it is very different. So poetry is more available, also in bilingual editions, which I think would be very handy for readers who are still learning the language. Producing bilingual editions of fiction is, of course, much more costly. And in general, there has been relatively little done in terms of translating Gaelic fiction into English or into other languages, which reminds me of my own personal story. I was quite struck by this imbalance between poetry and fiction, and I was looking for some exciting Gaelic novels to read. I discovered one novel in particular, Jerek a Nogel, The End of Autumn by Toramot Campbell, Norman Campbell, which came out originally in 1979, and it has been praised as the best Scottish Gaelic novel so far. I was really smitten with it when I read it. And I also had the privilege that the author, Toramot Campbell, was one of my teachers when I was doing the full-time Gaelic course in Skye. It was absolutely brilliant having the best Gaelic novelist as a lecturer. And he was so much fun, so kind, so knowledgeable. So I fell in love with the novel and decided to translate it into Czech. I managed to get some financial support for it, as it was the first piece of Gaelic fiction ever to be translated directly from Gaelic into Czech. It came out in a beautifully designed edition from a great Czech publishing house. It attracted some nice reviews, responses from readers. We organized a couple of events and media appearances around it. So curiously, the best Gaelic novel so far is available in Gaelic and in Czech. It hasn't been translated into English or into any other language. So if you want to read it, you either have to learn Gaelic or you have to learn Czech because there's simply no other way of doing it.
That's quite the fun fact. I don't think we are going to ask you to take the challenge of translating it in English, because you know you've been very busy publishing another, a very different book.
The book is out. It's called Derek Thompson and the Gaelic Revival. And it is the conclusion of many years of my work. As I told you at the beginning, I first got interested in Gaelic literature through this anthology of modern Gaelic poetry. And one of the poets represented in that volume is Derek Thompson, Ruairí Mac Comish, originally from Lewis. He's a fascinating figure. And together with Sorley MacLean and Ian Creighton-Smith, he is the major Gaelic poet of the 20th century. He was also an influential scholar who worked at different universities throughout his life. But he was especially connected with the Gaelic department here at the University of Glasgow, where he worked for 30 years. His scholarly works, including The Companion to Gaelic Scotland, which he edited, and the Introduction to Gaelic Poetry, which he wrote, are still indispensable to anybody who is working in the field, even nowadays. So I think that alone would be quite enough, an impressive career as a poet and as an academic, but that's not all. In order to support and promote Gaelic, Derek Thompson co-founded, together with the BBC producer Finlay J. MacDonald, the most important Gaelic magazine of the second half of the 20th century, which kept appearing for 50 years, from 1952 to 2002. The magazine was called Gerem, which means the call of the cockerel, and the image of the cockerel was used as the logo of the magazine throughout, so it had a lovely and distinct visual identity. This magazine, Gerem, was a major force in the Gaelic world for 50 years, and it served as a platform not only for new writing. That was one of the main reasons why Thompson and MacDonald set it up in the first place, to encourage new Gaelic literature, especially poetry and short stories, but also for Gaelic journalism, literary reviews, comments on Scottish and international politics. And this was all done through the medium of Gaelic exclusively, and that was vastly influential. Very often, writers who published in the magazine had their first collections, be it poetry or short stories, brought out by Gerem Publications, which was the associated publishing venture. The magazine was also open to people with familial ties to traditional Gaelic-speaking areas, to people who were brought up speaking the language. But it was also very welcoming to those who came to Gaelic from the outside and decided to learn it for some reason, from Scotland or from abroad, like myself. So in that sense, it was very international and progressive. And the impact of Gerem on Gaelic literature and culture cannot be overestimated, because it was so vast. Over the years, it developed into a more strictly literary magazine, as its other more journalistic functions were gradually taken over by other initiatives in the diversifying scene of Gaelic media and publishing. It was a major venture, and Derek Thompson was the force behind it for 50 years. So he was a poet, scholar, editor. He was also involved in the foundation of the Gaelic Books Council in 1968, which is a body that still exists and continues to support Gaelic writers and publishers to this day. So Derek Thompson has been hailed as the person who did more for Gaelic than any other individual in the history of the language. And he did it all to an impressively high standard. He had a broad European outlook. He was aware of international politics. And he also did not focus on Gaelic only. He was very keen to support Scots, and he did not see the two languages as competitors. On the contrary, he proposed equal provisions for both. And he envisaged Scotland as a country where both Gaelic and Scots and other small and threatened languages and cultures should be protected and allowed to prosper. And this is something which I personally really like and appreciate about his thought. And I think it's still an important and relevant part of his legacy. So in this book, which I have recently published with the Edinburgh University Press, I attempt to summarize his achievements. And it's the first dedicated monograph about him. Before, there were articles, chapters, dissertations, important and precious work done by colleagues. But there was no monograph. And I felt Derek Thompson really deserved one. So I decided to write it. Now it's out. And I hope it's going to be useful and that it will draw more attention to his work as a poet, scholar, editor, and Gaelic activist.
Thank you very much. And I would like to remind our audience that you contributed to our website with not one, but two very interesting articles. articles. So if you want to read more, please go to saha.scot and have a little read. So this so far has been fascinating. This podcast will be released at the end of Gaelic Week. But Gaelic is not something that should be remembered only one week of the year. It's something that should be remembered the entire year. What does Gaelic Week mean to you?
This is actually the first Gaelic Week I'm able to participate in Scotland because I moved here in September. So it is very exciting for me. And it is also a lovely coincidence to have the book on Derek Thompson out. And as part of the Gaelic Week, we organized an event dedicated to him at the University of Aberdeen, where he himself studied and later worked as head of Celtic. So that was a pleasure. And I think Derek Thompson would have liked the concept of the Gaelic Week as such, as a way to make the language more visible and hopefully to draw more people to it. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk about him as part of the Gaelic Week, also on this podcast. So thank you again for the invitation.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Ponsarova. This has been very interesting, and I hope our audience learned something new.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on this Saha conversation. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something new. If you liked this episode, please share it, subscribe, and leave us a like on Twitter and Instagram at @Saha_voice and on Facebook at Scottish Arts and Humanities Alliance.